The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The first thing I want to talk about is this. A piece of research, so carried out, a poll of European citizens, EU citizens, saying security and defence is the issue that they would like the EU to focus on now and over the next 5 years more than anything else. And why it's striking is security and defence was almost entirely absent in our own general election. I actually went through the Irish Times polling data that they've carried out over the last 12 months, and at no time in the last year was security and defence in the top 10 voter concerns in this country. Dan O'Brien is with me. He of the Institute of International and European Affairs to, I guess, suggest it should be, Dan. Is that the contention? It should be a concern. We should be doing something about security and defence.
Yeah. So, Kieran, if you had a big uptick in burglaries in your neighbourhood and you kept leaving the back door open, you didn't put extra bolts and locks in your windows, and you didn't install an alarm system, you'd be asking for trouble. Now, no system in your house will keep out a really determined burglar. But if you're the softest touch in the area, they'll pick up on that and you're going to feel the consequences of it. So that's Ireland. Since 2022, the invasion of Ukraine, the security situation is absolutely transformed in Europe. The further east and north you go on the continent, their countries are rearming, changing what their entire security policies because they feel much more threatened by Russia. Add on top of that, imagine going back to the burglary thing. If the cops then threaten to pull out of the area, do you still do nothing? So for Europe, that's the equivalent of Donald Trump coming in and pulling out of NATO, because Americans have guaranteed Europe's security for 75 years. We in Ireland still are not responding to this. It didn't come up in the election, and our politicians should be showing the leadership on this. It is up to politicians who see what's going on with their colleagues in Europe, who are sitting around the tables in Brussels, to see how big a deal this is for everyone in Europe, and they are not showing the leadership to articulate how much has changed.
Sticking with the metaphor, I want to ask in a moment about kind of the different options, you know, and whether it's just putting bolts on the door or whether it's signing up to Neighbourhood Watch or it's a version of both. But why do you think this is the situation in this country, that the situation is as you describe it, you know, an increasingly fragile and volatile world, an increasingly dangerous world? Stories during the election campaign of Russian ships in Irish waters hovering around where these undersea cables can be located. And yet, as I said, it's absolutely not a concern amongst voters.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a bit of history involved here that, you know, we didn't do anything. We also, during the Cold War up to 1989, we didn't join NATO as nearly every democratic country in Europe did. And we kind of felt that we were safe enough on our own. And if anything went wrong, the British would intervene or the Americans. So we could take this sort of position of not being involved and not defending ourselves. T.K. Whittaker, the great civil servant, said it's like driving your car without the insurance policy if you get away with it. But when you crash, you don't get away with it. And we got away with it until 1989. And then security, thankfully, there was a big peace dividend in Europe. And we lived for 30 years almost with very few wars in Europe. And war is back. And it's back big time. And we need to do something. We are not, you know, of no interest to bad actors. We need to do more to protect ourselves from that burglary.
Politicians, though, you know, they're tempted to shy away from this because it's that there's no kind of political capital to be gained in their minds. That's kind of the view amongst political circles when it comes to this issue, that you end up kind of getting mired in a debate about neutrality.
Yeah.
I mean, they're concerned for good reason. That's absolutely what will happen.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But ultimately, the first duty of politicians and the state is to provide for the security of the state and its citizens. And politicians who are not prepared to lead and articulate just how the situation in our part of the world has changed are really not living up to their primary responsibility about making us all more secure. Mm-hmm. And it is up to politicians to come out and lead that debate and explain to people burglaries have gone up in our neighbourhood and there is a risk that the police will be pulling out. We need to start doing something collectively to secure the house.
I remember looking up again, and I seem to be kind of quoting the Irish Times, but again, we'll go with them because there's a paper of record and all of that stuff they like to say about themselves. But the archive, the year that Ireland joined the United Nations, I think the phrase Irish neutrality was printed once in the paper in the entire year. And it was in the context of a German food festival that was happening in Dunleary. And obviously it was a reference to the war. The year that we first sent troops overseas as part of a UN mission, the phrase Irish neutrality didn't appear in that newspaper once in the entire 12 months. Now, I'd wager it's mentioned, a week doesn't go by now where it doesn't get mentioned in some context. Yeah, in our national press, it's kind of become a sacred cow, I guess, is my point. And I find it hard to understand how it became this sacred cow, this thing that we're not even allowed to question.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting that you mentioned those historical, the lack of reference to it. But it has become, for many people, a part of our identity. Now, personally, you know, neutrality is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. It is a means if you believe that it can protect you, as Sweden did for 200 years. Sweden was militarily neutral. After the invasion of Ukraine a couple of years ago, it dashed into NATO after 200 years. Why? Because it saw that neutrality in this new era of hybrid warfare was not going to protect it. And it changed its position because that was what were the best interests of its citizens.
It is an end, though, for some people, I think, is it? It allows us to claim a kind of a purity that others lack.
But Kieran, you know, I have never heard anyone around the world, like most of the time when you go abroad, you say you're from Ireland, but they say Iceland. You know, people are not even, you know, the idea that people are aware of our security policy. You know, is anyone aware of Uruguay's security policy or, you know, other small countries around the world? People don't think we're pure because we don't defend ourselves. They, in fact, serious people think, why is this country so willing not to defend itself and secure its home?
So let's go with those options I mentioned then about kind of putting a bolt in the door or joining Neighbourhood Watch. I guess joining Neighbourhood Watch does necessitate a debate about neutrality and alignment. The more straightforward solution to the problem you propose, which is kind of the increase in burglaries, and we've got the back door open, is to close it and put a bolt on it, isn't it?
Well, it would be to
invest in defence, in other words.
Well, no, I'll be, you know, I spent a long time in European politics and European capitals, and if I had a euro for every time people said, politicians, civil servants, whatever, said, the twin pillars of our foreign policy is EU and NATO. EU to thrive, NATO to survive. Nearly every country in Europe has those two twin pillars. The countries that don't are the exceptions. So to my mind, the quickest, best thing we could do to secure to make ourselves more secure would be to do what both Finland and Sweden did after the invasion, would be to join NATO. And I'd be perfectly happy to engage in any debate over that. And I think it would be good to have that debate, even if people rejected it. I think it would be focus the mind on the national consciousness on this idea of neutrality, what it means, what it's for, why we have it, why some people are so attached to it. So that would be my first thing. But then after that, there's all sorts of issues around, you know, do you increase defense yeah. expenditure to more normal levels, which we have some of the lowest levels in Europe.
Is it kind of a maybe more realistic or a suitable halfway house, closer alignment with other European nations, which is happening anyway? And we see Sean Clancy, the chief of staff, has this kind of big new gig coming up where he's going to be, what is it? Is it chair of the EU's military committee? That we continue on that road while investing in defence. It's a slightly less politically charged route maybe than joining NATO.
Yeah, well, this opinion, Europe-wide opinion poll that came out asking people in every country in the EU, do you want European common European security and defence? And we had the second lowest support. Now, it was a majority, but we had the second lowest support after Malta, which is also a military neutral country. Mm. So, you know, there is a lower level of support, I think, tied into that thing of neutrality being so important. But there are a whole range of options. You know, just before the invasion of Ukraine, a government commission report came out and said, what should we do about defence? Should we go the minimalist, a middle ground, or a maximalist approach. And naturally enough, the middle ground was chosen.
A cynic might suggest the middle ground was chosen before the other options.
I'd never be so cynical here. Never. Wouldn't dream of it. But nothing was changed then. After everything changed in European security. And again, as you observed, you know, this didn't come up as an issue during the election. Political parties were not sort of showing any sort of leadership and explaining how things have changed.
How would you go about then convincing somebody about the merits of joining NATO? Maybe you've made that argument in terms of kind of the increasingly volatile world or the burglaries in the neighbourhood and the door is open. But how would you allay the concerns people have about joining NATO and about kind of, I guess, the obligations that come with joining NATO? It's not just kind of you're provided with this kind of a robust defence mechanism. There are obligations that come with it in Article 4 and 5 and all of that. What about those concerns? How would you allay them?
Well, I certainly think it would be great to have a real conversation. And I'd say if you look around us in the North Atlantic, from Canada up to Iceland, over to Norway, every country around us in the North Atlantic is in NATO. Are they all wrong and we're right?
We had Jeffrey Sachs on the show a little bit earlier from Columbia University, and he's a professor, but he's quite critical of NATO and NATO expansionism, as he calls it. And I think he might describe kind of their intervention in Serbia as an invasion of Serbia and the breaking up of Serbia, despite, as I kind of put it to him, a number of those Serbian leaders ending up being kind of tried and convicted for human rights abuses and war crimes, and the Kosovo Liberation Army perhaps having a different view to him. But his argument really, if you were to kind of distill it, was that NATO has become, at the behest of US administrations, a kind of a more aggressive actor in this world.
Well, first of all, to give sort of agency to NATO, as it's some sort of, there's a whole bunch of
people. Yeah, I think, to be honest, he was probably more critical of US administration and that they were using NATO to their own ends.
Well, let's look at it. Talk about the countries that were desperate to join it. Okay, the countries that had effectively ceased to exist, the Poland of this world, the Baltics of this world, that they were taken over by the Soviet Union and they lived under a tyrannical regime for decades and decades and decades. And when that ended in 1989, they were obsessed with getting security guarantees, particularly getting into NATO, because they feared Russia would come back and do it again. Those are the countries. It's not that America is imposing it on those countries. Like, go to Warsaw, you know, go to Riga. They are all, NATO is desperately popular. Why? Not because Americans pushed it on it, but they want it for themselves to feel safe from Russia.
And then kind of independent of it, because we're kind of tight on time, but it's such a really interesting debate. I could kind of talk about it all day, and I'm sure you could too. But independent of our alignment or non-alignment then with those kind of international organisations, to go back to the bolt on the door metaphor and the investment in our own defence, is that where we should be spending some of the budget surplus? Is on some of those kind of capital projects, investment in sonar, primary radar, and the type of things we don't have in that field?
Yeah. Well, look, until 2022, Kieran, I had never, ever advocated increased military expenditure because we were getting away with it. And, you know, not spending enough when there was a low threat, you know, when so many other good things can be used for money rather than spending on military equipment. I hate it as an economist, not only as a person, but as an economist. I just hate the idea that you're putting this money into destruction rather than creative things. But when the facts change, I change my mind. And the facts about European security have changed. And therefore, we need to spend more. We need to put those bolts on, put in a new alarm. We need to protect our home and deter people who would, bad actors, who would seek to get into our home and interfere with it.
Dan, listen, really interesting. So thanks a million for popping in to us. Dan O'Brien of the Institute of International European Affairs.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.